This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 267 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Oh, Bruce.
Yeah?
Do you know what I've had?
What have you had?
I've had 1/52nd of an Annus horribilis.
A mongrel of a week, then.
Pretty much.
Right, okay. Why is that?
It was first week of school holidays.
Oh, okay. So you've actually got to do something.
Well, not well. The theory was there, but within hours of them starting, my daughter who went on school holidays started the vomiting bug.
Oh no!
That went for 3.5 days.
Ooh.
Followed by my wife getting a migraine so bad that she couldn't see.
Yikes.
And me coming down with a massive chest infection and fever, so I couldn't move or almost even talk.
Wow, that's nasty.
The first 3 or 4 days of the week were fabulous.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Fabulous.
Wow. But, okay, yeah, so are you all better now?
Well, the daughter is. The wife's most getting there.
Yeah.
And I'm still... still
dying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm a man. Yeah, I'm still... We suffer more.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
So it has not been the best of week. My chest pain's so bad. We're kind of naming a holiday after it. Chesticus for the resticus, we're calling it. For three and a half days, it felt like I'd swallowed like a half a golf ball, and it was stuck halfway down my body.
Oy.
So every time you swallowed, there was this massive pain, and because you couldn't breathe and you couldn't cough, and oh, buddy.
I actually think half a golf ball would be worse than a whole golf ball.
Absolutely. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's got sharp edges.
Yeah. Exactly. Why do you think I said half rather than a whole?
Okay.
It's worse, dude. I'm a bloke. I've got to emphasize how bad it was. The women listening in the audience wouldn't know anything about strong pain.
No.
We men suffer.
Do not go there.
We suffer so badly, you know. Yeah, but one of my caring female friends texts and she goes, "Are you sure it's not man flu?" I said, "No, it's not that bad. I'm just almost dying. Yeah, it's nowhere near as bad as man flu." So it's been a bit of a sad week. I've had a few shots I wanted to do with Miss Seven.
Right.
I haven't even got the camera out.
Oh, okay.
It was only yesterday I got out of bed after 2.5 days.
Right.
You know? I literally couldn't move for two.
Yeah, right.
I had 40-degree fever and just all sorts of stuff going on. So it's been joyous.
Yeah.
And
right.
So I'm hoping next week's gonna be better. I'll get some. I've got a kind of a cool creative shot I want to do with the kiddo, and nothing I can do about it yet.
Right.
But in one of my slightly more or less, I'm not sure it's less or more delirious moments.
Yeah.
I did come out with a new product.
Right.
And it's called the Unsuck Filter.
Okay.
Now, as we've always said all along, there's no such thing as an unsuck filter in Photoshop, right?
No.
So you can, yeah. But who wants to do Photoshop when you can do it in camera? So I came up with a screw-on glass unsuck filter.
Oh,
because
okay.
It doesn't save so much time if you put it on the front of your lens, and it fixes your photos as it's going through the filter.
That
therefore,
would be awesome.
There's no need to have Photoshop for the unsuck filter, even if I had it.
Excellent. So and you've patented this filter?
Well, I've certainly trademarked my name.
Right, okay.
The unsuck filter. I don't know why I'd never thought of it before. So I patented it.
Yeah.
And I made up the advert for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put it on Facebook. Yeah. A fairly few derisive comments. Yeah. Don't know why. Yeah. But right. Someone says, "Is there a black and white unsuck filter?" Which I thought was pretty clever. So... Anyway, that's been my week.
Okay. Well,
and
I've been told off royally.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. You will recall that a couple of weeks ago, I brought to our attention Craig Wetchen's project called Men's Shed Photography.
Yeah.
Which is all, you know, to do with men's, you know, mental health issues and all that sort of thing. Not. Well, kind of mental health. You know what I mean. Anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway.
It's It's a men's support group.
At the time, yeah, at the time that we spoke about it, I said that, you know, these were great images that, you know, looked like HDR done really well.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. So this is the email that I got from Craig. He said, "Hi, Bruce. I would like
How did he know? Who dobbed you in?
I would like to thank you for taking up my friend Adam Davidson's recommendation and mentioning my men's shed photography project on your podcast a few weeks back. Somehow, and I can't remember how, I stumbled upon this last weekend and I had a listen. As you're probably aware, is my project has a lot of meaning to me and the people I photograph, and most important is the awareness of male health. I would like to also make a point here about my photography and the process in which I work my images both photographically and in post-production. You made particular reference to my work as being HDR and would like to say that none of my photos are done in HDR. The term HDR is combining a series of bracketed exposures into a single image. So I would like you to know, calling my photography HDR done tastefully is a bit unfounded, as none of my images are bracketed. I am sure you meant no ill will or intentions. However, I really think calling images HDR-like needs to be used very carefully. Every one of my images is a single capture with proper lighting and attention to the craft of photography, and is handled in Photoshop with careful selective burning and dodging techniques, utilizing adjustment layers such as curves with selective masking. Just about whatever you can do in a traditional darkroom, I've done in post-production with one single capture. I stress this to all my students: if you don't have a good exposure and you haven't lit your subject correctly, you have no hope for a good image to work with if you're going to do anything with it in Photoshop. I think the most important thing is the project itself and what it stands for, which I can't thank you enough for highlighting. Just wanted to give you some feedback. Thanks again, Craig Wetchen." So
now you sit in the corner for the rest of the podcast.
Yes, exactly.
Don't say another word.
My wrists are suitably slapped. So my apologies, Craig. That's a fair call. I looked at the images and they looked like HDR done well. And if you've heard some of our other episodes where we've discussed HDR, I've not been a fan of it because so rarely is it done well. I intended to pay you a compliment, and I'm sorry if it didn't come across that way.
But the other thing too is it's only an insult if you find HDR photography insulting.
I suppose.
Because if you embrace art for art's sake, then this is another art form. And when done well, it can be quite a cool art form.
Hmm.
And if you manage to emulate that without needing to do those techniques, it's pretty darn good. Yeah. But certainly, I mean, I know where Craig's coming from, because I'm a bit of a stickler that way too, that I'm such a thing about lighting.
Yeah.
And getting the exposure right as best as humanly possible.
In the camera, absolutely.
So and you are too. I don't know if people have said the same about my shots in the past. Oh, they look HDR. Well, they're not, but you know, that's what you think.
Hmm.
That doesn't personally aggrieve me.
Fair enough.
this is no dig at Craig. I'm not.
No,
if by some chance he's listening.
Yeah.
But I just don't take other people's opinions personally.
Fair enough.
Oh, I don't even. No, I don't. Now I don't.
You don't even listen.
Everybody.
You don't even listen.
Now it's like I don't really care.
Yeah.
What other people think.
Yeah.
You know, call it arrogance. It's not arrogance. It's just, well, I do what I like.
Yeah.
Because I like it.
Yep.
Sometimes I do what I do because I don't know any better.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do what I do because I don't have the skills to do it better. So yeah. I do this.
Yeah.
And if I'm happy with it.
That's all that matters.
That's, yeah, kind of, you know.
Yep.
So anyway. Yeah. It's just the way.
I certainly meant no offense with what I said, Craig. I in my bizarre way was trying to compliment your photography. I thought they were great images. And as you say at the end of the letter, what's most important is that we're raising awareness for men's mental condition. And it's a great project that you're involved in. So
absolutely.
Yes. So anyway.
Now, I want to say hello to someone special.
Yeah.
Malena Pfeiffer.
I was just about to say, we heard back from Malena.
We did.
And she says she's not Michelle's sister.
I know.
I'm gutted.
That's the only reason I said hello to her in the first place. Get a bit of an in. You know, you know, that 2 degrees of separation.
That's
stuff,
right.
You know, you know, I almost know Michelle Pfeiffer.
That's
right. You know, now I just know another Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer.
Now, where was that? Because I went looking for it.
It was on, she sent us a message on our Facebook page.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It was a message. It wasn't a post on the wall.
It was very personal.
Now I've got to remember how to find those personal messages.
Don't worry about it. It wasn't that important.
Okay. Will you tell me about it?
Other than that, she's a Czech, and her husband's German, and they live in Sweden.
Right.
So she says we've got three countries covered.
Excellent.
With nothing else. She goes, only another 192 to go.
Fantastic.
Not so bad, is it? You know?
No.
It seems achievable.
Yes. Almost.
Almost. But yeah, look, no, it was just lovely. It just sent a little massage through to us, which is very nice of her.
Yeah.
And I sent a little one back thanking you for listening because it means a lot to us, even though we may not always show our appreciation quite the right way. But it does. Yeah, we don't give up our hour every night, every once a week just for giggles and talking to each other.
That's right.
It means a bit to us, so it's good. Thank you so much. Anyway,
thank you. Thank you.
Next.
All right. What have you got anything on your list?
I've got my new David Duchemin book arrived this week.
Oh.
A Beautiful Anarchy.
Nice.
And I haven't, I started reading with the kids are in the bath tonight, so I haven't had, because I've been too sick to even, it took me 2 days to even open, get the strength up to open the packaging.
Right. Okay.
The world's smallest violin is playing just for me. but I haven't gone much past the intro. But what I'm going to go through, as I do with most books, is I'll highlight any salient little passages that come across, and we'll talk about them when I get around to it. But I did highlight one tonight whilst the kids were in the bath, and I thought I'd speak about it tonight.
Right.
If it's all right with you, Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it's basically about if you don't use your creative side as much, or if you feel guilty about not having been in touch with your creative side for a while, and it says basically if you reach down and find your paintbrush stiff from lack of use, then cast it aside, reach deeper, and punch your hands into the paint.
Right.
Yeah. Make your hands the paintbrush. Use your fingers to paint. You know, whatever it takes, in other words, to get into, if you need to burst through and get into that creative zone, it doesn't matter if you're rusty. It doesn't matter if you haven't oiled the cogs for a while. Dig deeper.
Yeah.
Rummage around and see what you can grab a hold of and use that, which I thought is pretty good. I mean, it's a bit of inspiration there for when you're going, and I guess it's a little bit like why these guys do these 365 projects and all this sort of stuff is to not let the cogs get rusty.
Yeah.
I'm not a massive fan of them myself. But if you do reach down and you're feeling a little bit like your bristles are a bit dried out.
Yep.
It's not a bad way to go. So dig deeper, stick your hands in the paint, and away you go.
Cool.
So, and then I was looking around for a top five list to take the fun out of this week, and whilst I came across a few, I must say,
these are the interwebs. There's plenty of it.
Nothing inspired me enough, so I made my own up again.
You couldn't find any crap on the internet, so you had to make your own.
Well, not enough that really. I've got one,
right? Yeah,
but I'll point that. But I made my top five tips for taking amazing photos of your family.
Right, okay.
Step one.
Yep.
Hire people nicer and better looking than your own family.
Nice.
Step two, that should just about do it.
I thought step two was going to be hire a professional photographer to come and shoot them for you.
No, because you don't need a license to be a professional. You don't need a license to be a parent, you know? So it doesn't mean you're going to get any good photos because you've hired a professional. Goodness sake.
That's true.
But I reckon if they're pretty looking people, you're already in with a good chance. You know?
Right.
But I did come across one it was to do with shooting families, funnily enough. Right. That sort of inspired that. And step two of their process of shooting groups of people effectively just did my head in, quite frankly. Okay. And it was this: adjust your lens to the group size.
No.
The lens you equip dictates what kind of angle your camera will be capable to sustain, as well as opening up a whole array of focusing options.
Right.
If you're taking the portrait of a large group, like multiple generations of one family or more than 4 to 5 people, you need to equip a wide-angle lens of about 18 millimeters.
Why do you?
Allowing more people to fit in your shot, Bruce.
Why do you?
Because it allows more people to fit in your shot.
What if I have the capacity to stand 200 meters back from said group and use a 300 mil prime?
They wouldn't hear you.
That's not the point. I can still fit them in the shot with a 300 mil prime.
Bruce, this is on the internet.
Oh, well, it must be true then.
Exactly.
We had this exact same discussion on the Canon Australia page on Facebook a few weeks back, where
a Sony user on the Canon Australia Facebook page
for? Oh, well, because I was giving them grief about exactly this argument. Because the person on the Canon Australia page, whoever it is that runs that Facebook page, had posted this thing, and it was during the Vivid Festival. There was this, you know, wide-angle shot that had been shot of the Harbour Bridge from... I think it was from the south side of the harbour. And basically they'd said, you know, in order to capture images like this, you know, of the whole of the Harbour Bridge, you need a lens like the 10 to 17 mil, blah, 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 whatever it was, you know. And I said, well, if I get far enough back, I can use any damn lens I feel like. and so we got into this whole to and fro about.
But hang on a sec.
If you don't specify a shoot location, then you leave yourself open to criticism
But they did. They specified they very clearly. No, they very clearly. If you want to capture a shot like this.
See, you're a Canon apologist.
No, listen. Is that what they said?
That's what I'm saying about you.
But is that what they said? I don't give a rat's about Canon. Is that what they said?
No.
If you want to shoot a shot like this?
Something along those lines.
Yeah, but therefore saying you look at the shot and you want that perspective. You can't get that perspective with a friend of the lens from a long way back. Is it not true?
Yeah, something like that.
So if they're shot with a 10mm lens, it's going to look a certain way that you're not going to get with a 300mm lens from a long way back. Yes, you can get the same amount of stuff in, but it's not going to look like this.
No.
And that was their point, Bruce. You were wrong, dude.
Maybe you were not. Wrong. Maybe.
They did not say in the thing, if you want to fit the whole of Sydney Harbour Bridge in, you need a really wide-angle lens. This guy's saying, if you want to fit 5 people in, you need a wide-angle lens. That's wrong.
Yes.
That's blatant, but not. If you want to take a photo that looks like this, well, that has to have the right gear that was used to make it look like that. So, sorry, dude, but I'm going to have to shoot you down on that one.
I'm going to
the Canon forums straight after this.
I'm looking for it right now.
Send me the link, dude. I'm going to flame you. Oh, that's fun tonight. I thought it was going to be a boring night, but no, my night is made. I haven't been sleeping well. No, so this is going to be, I could do this for hours tonight.
Right.
I'm just going to stir the world up.
Good.
Then we're going to attack. I'm getting me and all my hacking buddies. We're going to hack your Bruce Williams photography page. Right. Just for fun. Just because of what you said on that forum once. Because that's what the internet's all about.
That's right. That's exactly right. Now I can't find it.
No, I'll just type in Bruce Williams and controversy. Just Google that. Bruce Williams controversy.
It's bang. Yeah. Well, look for the Facebook page called Canon Australia.
Yeah.
And it's somewhere on their timeline, but I haven't been able to find it. I've seen some of the images that were taken around the time of Vivid.
Maybe they took it down as shame.
Maybe they did.
Bruce was right. You could fit the whole bridge in if you walk back 300 miles. Yeah, you could probably get it from space from a satellite too to get it all in.
Dear. Anyway.
Helicopter?
I can't find it now.
iPhone and a helicopter. That's all you need to put the Harbour Bridge in.
If anyone else can find that link, it was Canon Australia on their Facebook wall.
If anyone else was offended and reported Bruce to Facebook about this offensive post, then yeah, please come and paste your letter to Facebook complaining, and we'll talk about it next week. Or I'll just add my name to the bottom list and send it back to Facebook. Disgraceful stuff. Dave Foggan posted something today on our Facebook page. I'm not so sure about a fellow US photographer from Washington DC who's doing the same project as I am, shooting D-Day veterans.
Oh wow!
And I've got to say, the images are not. I mean, they're not exactly the same, but there's some similarities in style and look to them,
right?
To my own work.
Okay.
His name's Willis Bretz, and I sent the link through to you just before.
Yep.
Which is fabulous. Now, he's only shot three guys so far. It's all he could find in his local area, but he's now opened it up to anyone across America who he can get to, who's willing to do it. And he had his images were put in the Washington Post on the anniversary of D-Day.
Yeah.
But they're fabulous. So I sent him a big long email. So thank you, David, for that. That's much appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
I sent Willis a big long email this morning and to touch base and talk about the similarities of the project and stuff.
Cool.
And maybe at some point we get him on the podcast and have a chat and discuss, the difficulties of doing this kind of work.
Yeah, for
interesting
sure.
And get another person's perspective.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And then I came across tonight.
Mm.
If you want to shoot like Ansel Adams.
Yeah.
Right. One of his cameras is coming up for sale at auction on July the 9th. Buy his camera.
And you'll be able to shoot like him.
Exactly.
What? Oh, dear.
What? No? Just... What? Is that true? I'm waiting for Da Vinci's paintbrushes to come up for sale.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I'm set.
That's it.
It doesn't matter what they cost, see, because you'd always get your money back.
That's right.
Cost you 100 mil, but your first painting's going to go for that, isn't it?
Exactly.
You know, fabulous. Now, I've got some more stuff, but I want to talk about the photos you've been taking this week.
Oh, of my bike?
Your bike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You happy
What's
with
wrong
those?
With them on your website?
What's wrong with them?
Yeah, the bike looks about 3 foot wider than it should do. It's got it's sort of really elongated on my...
Was that the picture of my old bike, my Suzuki? That looks that way. I did notice that, and it's something to do with the graphics plugin that I'm using on my website. But for some reason, the images of my new bike looked fine.
Is it weird?
It was really weird, and I don't know why it did it. And it's the image that was exported from Lightroom of my Suzuki was not exported with some weird aspect ratio problem. It exported just fine. But for some reason, when it displays on...
Oh, no, it's weird. It is your new bike.
Oh, okay.
But I've just reopened it, and now it doesn't look stretched.
Oh, and I've just reopened the image of my Suzuki, and it now doesn't look stretched either. That is just bizarre.
Oh, maybe the internet was just delayed a bit, so it took a little bit longer. Yeah. As it stretched out, as a pixel sort of stretched.
Maybe that's what it was. A bit of time dilation.
Pretty much.
Traveling at the speed of light.
You've seen that. No, you've seen that in Star Trek.
That's it.
When they go to warp, it sort of extends out just for a second, and sort of zaps back in again.
That's it.
That's it.
That's what it was.
That's
the NBN. That's what it is.
That explained my mind look pretty bad.
So anyway, other than the elongation of the images, what else did you have to criticise?
No, they look fine.
Sorry? Yeah,
they look fine.
Okay.
How's the bike going?
Oh, mate, absolutely loving it. Loving it.
Still got your old one?
I do still have my old one. It's, like I said, it's on eBay, it's on bike sales, and it's on Gumtree, so I'm sure it'll sell pretty quick.
How's it looking on eBay? How many watches have you got?
I think there's 19 people watching it, and it's had a couple of hundred views so far.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Good numbers.
Yeah. So I'm pretty confident. I'll sell it pretty quick.
Good stuff.
Yeah. But yes, the Triumph, absolutely loving it. It's nice to be a little bit protected from the cold in the mornings.
Yeah, which I was time of year because it's bitter down here in Australia. These people in these foreign climes have no understanding of cold.
No, and I don't suppose you'd have much sympathy for me either, because no. Melbourne tends to be colder than
8 degrees or something, doesn't it?
Well, it got down to 5 this morning as I was riding to work, so that was pretty chilly.
5 degrees Celsius. That's like 40 something degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, so
that's bitter, dude. That's, I can understand where you're coming from. That's going to have a wind chill factor of like, 3.
It's not very pleasant, but it's much more pleasant on the Triumph than it was on the Suzuki.
Good stuff. Why
is
that?
Well, just because of the way it's designed to push the wind away from the rider rather than the Suzuki, which is a naked cruiser, so you just hit with the full brunt of the wind, So yeah, and of course this bike's got a stereo system on it, so yeah. Have music absolutely blaring while I'm riding down the freeway. It's great. So, yeah. So I was happy with the photos that I took.
Good. As I always say, that's all that matters.
Yes. Yes. I got them straight out of camera, so I was happy with that.
Oh, you're going to be happy with that. Yeah. Oh, good job. So you're taking more photos this week than me. Well, not entirely true. I did go to the zoo today with Miss Seven and took some photos of the iPhone.
Right. Of the iPhone or with the iPhone?
With the iPhone.
Right. Yeah,
I'm still too weak to carry a camera around, dude. Right. No, so I took some photos of the iPhone. Yeah, terrible as always. Yeah. Well, because I was trying to photograph butterflies on a hat and it doesn't do macro particularly.
Okay.
Just one comment about your bike shot, just having another look at it.
Yeah.
You should have HDR'd it, dude. That way you'd have got some detail in the water, which probably would have made it look better. just a little aside there for
Excellent.
You.
I'll keep that in mind for next time.
If you did like a 27 shot bracket, you might have got some detail in the headlight, too. Yeah. Just saying. Don't shoot the messenger, Bruce, is all I'm saying. Yes, marvellous. So that's what else you got? You got other stuff?
I do have some other stuff on my list. What did I have? Just scrolling back up. Oh, Android L, which was announced at Google I.O. this week, which will be the next version of Android. For those who aren't in the Android faithful, all versions of Android are named using sequential letters of the alphabet and are named after various desserts. So the current version is Kit Kat. The next version will be named after some sort of confectionery or dessert beginning with L, but for the time being, Google is simply referring to it as Android L.
Licorice.
Well, it could be licorice, could be lollipop.
Mad is that? What?
Yeah, so anyway, who knows? So they're keeping us guessing on that front. But interestingly... Yeah,
I think the world is on tenterhooks.
Just of course.
Oh, it's going to be lollipop, it's going to be licorice, it's going to be Lollapalooza, who knows?
But one of the things that they did mention about Android L is extended or increased functionality with the camera.
It's got more functions. It doesn't have increased functionality.
Well, yes.
What's functionality? Why does anality to function make it anybody better? It's got more functions. It doesn't have increased functionality.
So-
It doesn't at all. Oh, my camera's now got manual and manual too. It's even more manual than the previous man. It's got more functionality. No, it's got another bloody function.
Anyway. It's the most premium of premium compact cameras.
It's even more premium than the most premium. Double premium with cheese on top.
Anyway, they're bringing support for digital neg format, which I think is pretty amazing for a camera that's built into your phone.
Yeah.
So presumably that means that you are getting the increased bit depth that you would get with any RAW format.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Haven't heard or read enough about it yet to know whether that's the case, but one would assume that that's the case if it's storing in DNG format. The ability to manual focus, which is pretty cool. I don't know of any camera phones at this point that would allow manual focus.
There's lots of them, but yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And color correction. Now, I'm not sure what they mean by that. I don't know if they just mean...
You can turn your photos to black and white.
Right.
I corrected that bad color right out of it.
Yes. I don't know if they just mean... Well, it can't just be white balance, because we've already got the ability to change white balance with our images. So, I don't know. So, whatever that turns out to be, it'll be interesting to see when it gets here. What else did we have?
Just before we leave the world of Android.
Yeah.
And their camera and so on.
Yeah.
Very slipped under the radar a lot this week that Apple announced the world's cheapest smart cam.
Sorry, smart cam?
Smart camera, yeah. As smart as with all the built-in blah, blah stuff.
Oh, okay. So this is not the camera built into the iPhone. This is a separate standalone
camera. Smart camera, yep.
Right.
They announced it. It's gone completely under the radar. It's called the iPod Touch.
Right.
They're calling it. But it's got a camera now, Bruce.
Right.
It's got two. But that makes it the cheapest smart camera in the world.
Does it?
Yeah, there's nothing else out there. They're like $199 or something. An iPod Touch, and it's now got full photo capabilities.
Right. So what size is the screen on an iPod Touch these days?
I don't know, 5 inches, 4.5 inches, big enough.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
It's not like those behemoth Android things that you need, like, you know, a little trailer to try put it, because it won't fit in your pockets anymore. Does every Android phone or Samsung Android phone come with its own set of cargo pants? You know, those really big baggy pockets. You put the damn phone in. How do they put these phones in their pockets anymore? The screens are bigger than my iPad. It's crazy.
Listen to the Apple fanboy.
I've had laptops with smaller screens.
As soon as Apple comes out with a 6-inch screen, you'll be jumping up and down and screaming from the rooftops that this is the best thing since sliced bread. Look,
my motto through life has always been size doesn't matter, Bruce. So, I'm not one of those chasers over the size, I assure you. But I want, when it's in my pocket, I want it to be, A, I want it to fit in the pocket.
Yeah.
B, when I sit down, it doesn't snap in two.
You want to be able to bend your leg while it's in your pocket.
It doesn't snap in two because it's so long and so big. Oh, I saw a mock-up of a new Apple phone a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it was the same shape normal phone, but it was about 6 foot long, 5-6 foot long, so you could have every app on the same screen.
Nice.
Forget about having all those different screens for your apps. You can never find an app. It's all on one screen. Fabulous stuff. So, yeah, but that's interesting. Apple, yeah, the iPod Touch with camera. It's a big change. Have I lost you?
Sorry. I was hoping you'd keep waffling on.
No.
I was just turning off the heater because the room was getting a little bit too warm.
Can't please you, can you? It's too cold in the bike. It's too warm in the room.
I'm Goldilocks.
Just right. But Apple had a big week last week.
Oh, okay.
Other than
the iPod Touch.
Well, they killed off Aperture.
Oh yes, they did too.
So that's a big announcement, isn't it? Yeah.
So, yeah. What finally, was the reasoning behind that?
Well, who wants it?
So is it a case of Lightroom has just eaten their lunch?
Yeah, Lightroom is just so dominant. Yeah, and you got to think. Yeah, what are you sinking your money into, and is it really worthwhile? You know.
Yeah.
And what's the volume of users, the cost to keep updating it and upgrading it and coming out with new modules every time a new camera comes out, you know, it can't be a cost-effective business.
No.
They came out with some other blurb about, with our cloud photo and all this other sort of stuff, there's no need for it, which doesn't ring particularly true. I just think it's not making any money.
Right.
Best reason of any to cancel something. But it was also the 20th anniversary of the Apple QuickTake 100.
What was
the first affordable digital camera that came out in the US.
Wow.
It was only $750 US in the day 20 years ago.
Jeez.
For the full 0.3 megapixel.
Oh, wow.
You know, so some wag commented that it wouldn't even make one of those little keychain cameras you get these days.
Exactly.
Wouldn't even have the resolution of that anymore.
Wow.
20 years, though, Bruce, we've been following this digital
imagery,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, I know digital imaging has been around longer than that, but commercial, viable products for the masses, 20 years is astounding.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And last week I talked about DP review of that and talked about Sony being number one and
yeah, and the, there Canons, were no Canons in Canons the top 10.
Missing. Yep. Yeah, well, other than a compact camera, which is like number six or something.
Right.
Well, now Canon still only got one camera in the top 10.
Right.
And it's now down to number 10 with only 2.7% of views.
Wow.
So it's the top 10 with a lead balloon as opposed to a bullet. It's going down. She's sinking fast, people. Watch it. Don't stand below it. You might get hurt.
Right.
But, of course, with Nikon's announcements last week of the two new Nikons, they've got one and two.
Right.
Spot. And, Sony's moved down and stuff. But it's amazing. I don't think I've ever seen a time period where Canon have had so little connection on the biggest website going around for photo.
Mm.
Astounding. I mean, the Nikon, they're first and second place. They were accounting for almost 40% of views of cameras on the site for the week.
Yeah, right.
Which is enormous dominance, as you'd imagine.
I noticed on Facebook today that Gavin Blue said, that he was looking at selling his D3S or X.
X.
Yeah. And some wag said, I'll give you $5. That's my final offer.
He'd probably take it, though. Well, that's it. I mean, he's got D4, he's got a D3S, he's got a D3X, he's got a D700. So I don't think he needs any more Ds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was buying the 810, so.
Yeah, but.
That's why he was getting rid of the D3X.
Yeah, I know, but with all that gear, do you really need it? Yeah. Oh, that's just want for the sake of want. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know Gavin Blue's photography, people, and you like your trucks.
He does some great truck photography.
Fabulous truck photographer.
Yeah.
He's the head of the Australian Commercial Media Photographers Association as well.
All right.
And
of course,
more Heartfelt. He's the president of Heartfelt, who does that amazing service. So mm-hmm. He's a good and all-round nice guy too, which can't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Haven't tried it myself, but I'm sure it's quite nice.
I came across a story on DIY photography this week.
Did you?
About a journalist who wanted to get an appreciation for the different standards of beauty as judged by, photographers and graphic artists in different countries. So she supplied a headshot of herself.
Yeah.
To image manipulators in 40 different countries and then got the results back and they've put them all together and it is just amazing to scroll down this list. The link will be in the show notes. And basically, in every instance, there are two images for each country and the one on the left is always the image, the original image that she supplied, and then the one on the right is the retouched version according to photographer or whatever. And some of them are just hilarious. The Philippines is amazing. It just completely changed everything.
Oh,
the lighting, the makeup, the hair, the background.
Putting the clothes on, yeah. They didn't get rid of that wispy bit of a hair from around her ear, though. Which
no.
Done wonders.
Then there was Bangladesh, who obviously thought she was showing a little bit too much skin, so they sort of put in the bikini top.
What in the hell did they do to the United States, though? What did they do to it?
Where's the US? I haven't.
Oh, it's about number four down, I think.
Oh, okay. I've probably scrolled past it.
Three.
Oh, right. With the
elongated
long
head.
Hair.
Yeah, and the elongated head and the massive forehead and the strange shaped eyes, the weird colored eyes.
They've altered the angle of her eyes.
Yeah, they altered the angle of her eyes. They've cleaned up her eyebrows, but they've elongated a whole.
The head
doesn't look human anymore.
No.
You know?
Then there was Serbia, who painted all these dots across her chest, which was kind of weird. Chile, who added necklace and earrings that weren't there. Then there was Morocco, who put her in a burqa. Then India, who obviously take offense to the collarbone because they completely removed her collarbones.
It was a more painterly look.
Awesome.
Yeah. The English one, which is a fair way up, back up down from the US, and it's very bizarre as well.
Right. Yes.
It's the one above Greece. That's a very unusually done look. Yeah. But I think the Vietnam, a couple up from England,
right,
is the best.
Yeah, and probably closest to the original.
Well, that's it. All they've done is cleaned it up a tiny bit. Yeah. They haven't altered too much. They haven't really got rid of the bags. And they've cleaned the skin up a bit. They've fixed the skin tones.
Yep.
They've lightened it a bit.
Yep.
But effectively left everything else the same.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It is. So, yeah. Fascinating. Very project. Interesting social experiment.
Very cool. Very cool indeed. Yeah. But I do like that very much. Argentina's kind of funny with all the purple bucket in the background.
That struck me as somebody who watches a lot of Miss Universe pageants. Because that's just what it looks like.
I like it. A cool idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last thing that I had was actually from Adam. I've given up on saying Davidson because I figure everyone just knows that it's Adam Davidson. And this was about Sony taking out a patent on a similar technology to which the Lytro camera uses.
Yeah.
This idea of light field sensors. So, yeah, I haven't had a chance to read that, but
I'll put it in the show notes. And
yep.
If someone else finds it fascinating, they can tell us.
Exactly. Yeah. Adam, go and read it and explain it to us.
Adam should put down why he thinks these are interesting, not just put these a link. Adam, there's your job. You're going to be a field reporter, dude. Do a good job of it. An unofficial field. We should get him on one night.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, absolutely.
We need someone else to pick on besides each other.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now, I came across an article from Lee Filters this week.
Oh, yeah.
A promotion thing. That they've now got Lee Filters for GoPro.
Wow.
Yeah, how's that for showing market
dominance? So is that simply a case of a smaller thread size? Is that all it is?
I didn't look at the article, dude.
Right. Because, I mean, I don't own a GoPro, but I'm imagining they're a fairly small filter size, like maybe a 47 or 49 mil.
There's no filter. I don't think there's any filter at all. I don't think there's any way of, I think you'd have to be some sort of mounting system that would hold it on the front.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because the whole thing's self-contained in a waterproof housing. Yeah, now when I come to look at it, yeah, it's a little clip-on
well,
housing.
That is, okay. So you're saying the filters are going to be in the water?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, as long as they're built well enough.
Well, yeah, I suppose. I just assumed that they were going to be on the inside of the housing if you were going underwater, but maybe not. So do they look promising?
It makes sense to have them. Yeah. The camera's put out a pretty darn decent image, but there's color correction filters for water, which makes sense. A lot of this stuff and snow, a lot of the stuff's done around those sort of environments. It's got neutral density filters, which makes sense. Yeah. Yep. It kind of makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. Are going to be a find if you're into that sort of stuff, be a fine little addition. It's got an underwater kit. So you can, when you are underwater, you can bring those colors back to good.
Cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But, it just shows, once again, the dominance of that little camera, which is quite amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know how many episodes ago now. It was a fair while ago. We talked about the Lomo Pretzval camera lens.
Okay.
Which is, remember, it's an old brass lens. They're bringing back this lens from back in the early ages of photography. And it was a big brass tube, if you remember.
No.
Anyway. It had this really kind of weird bokeh effect and really, really unusual thing. Anyway, it's out and about now. In those days, I think it was a Kickstarter project.
Oh, okay.
But now it's out and about as an actual product to buy.
Right.
And I came across somebody reviewing it and on DP Review.
Okay.
Or D Preview, depending on what you prefer.
Yep.
Yeah. And
I've given up on that.
Oh, I know. That's why I keep signing it. Yeah, and yeah, look, I think it's an interesting little lens. It really is, and its effects are quite different
right.
than you get out of a normal lens. It's an 85mm f/2.2.
Right,
but you have to manually drop in your apertures like you do with like a lot of the lens baby type lenses.
What do you mean by manually drop
in? Well, that basically there's a little slot and you have a little bag of little apertures.
Oh.
And you take that out of the bag and you slide in. So this is what you do with lens babies. If you want f/2.8, where you pull the little 2.8 ring.
So it doesn't have aperture blades inside the lens?
No. They're basically like washers.
Right.
On the lens baby. They're like a washer of different hole sizes.
Geez, I could build one of those myself going down to Bunnings.
Exactly. and the inside of the lens baby is magnetized. So you just drop this little washer in there and it just flicks in there.
Right.
And that's how you change your aperture on one of those.
Wow.
This one, you've got to sort of drop them into this little slot. But unfortunately, there's no way of locking them in there. So if you hold your lens on the wrong angle, it just falls straight back out again.
Don't.
Which is not possibly the best solution. But have a look. It's got some interesting looking images coming out of it.
Yeah, right.
And I was enamored by it when I first saw it. I thought, oh, that's so cool. And it looks like nothing else anyone else is using.
Right.
And so pretty darn cool.
Okay.
Then I came across a Sony rumor for you.
Yeah.
That Sony may be coming out with a black and white 35mm sensor camera.
You are kidding me.
No, to match it with the Leica.
See, this was your April Fool's Day prank.
Yeah, I know. No, that was memory cards.
Oh, that's right, it was too.
Black and white memory cards. Oh, I still love that one. I might bring that out again next year.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's a black, because Leica's got a black and white only camera.
Right.
And they say their photographs are like 40% sharper than you get out of color sensors.
Okay.
So hence Sony possibly coming out with one of these things. The Leica M monochrome is like $8,000.
Right.
This thing's going to be somewhere around about $3,000.
Right.
It's going to be an RX1 black and white.
You wouldn't need the Bayer filter, would you? So that would have to improve the clarity of the images.
Yeah. So yeah, who knows? If it comes, it could be just one of those rumors, but I thought since it was Sony related and thankfully somebody was talking about Sony for once, so I thought we might as well we may as well join in the fun.
That's right.
I've got just a couple more things.
Yeah.
One, I came across this little diagram for cropping for portraits.
Okay.
So it's not about how to shoot. Right. Their whole point wasn't this is how you take a photograph of a portrait. This is how you get your photographs, and then you crop them on your Photoshop so that you are framed well. Personally, I'd say maybe use
it right in camera.
Use this as a shooting guide rather than a cropping guide, maybe.
Right, yeah. Okay, yeah.
But it's kind of for people starting out and they're not really sure where to shoot portraits.
Yep.
It's not a bad, it's not at least to look at and see if you agree or disagree. Yeah.
So I'm guessing the red lines are don't set your borders here.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the idea?
I don't know, dude.
So well researched.
No, I looked at it and I thought, oh, that could be handy. No, because the thing is there's no guide to what it is.
No.
Right? So is it therefore horizontal and vertical?
No, because they're all horizontal except for the two lines across the ears.
Or the two red horizontal lines across the above the elbows or above the wrists.
Well, that's what I said. They're all horizontal lines except for the two.
You could still shoot vertical and that be your vertical cutoff point as opposed to your horizontal cutoff point. So I've got no problem with where the cut. It doesn't really look like they're on the joint. Oh, I suppose they're on the joints. Yeah, looking at it a bit more carefully.
Hmm.
I looked at this when I was in a fevered haze a day or so ago. Yeah, so they're in all the joints. It doesn't it's not particularly well shown on here. But they're basically on the joints of the elbow, the joints of the wrist, joints of the knee, and say don't cut off there because it kind of makes people look like they're amputees. Yeah. Don't chop off the end of the fingers. Don't chop off the end of the toes.
Yep.
Don't chop off the ears. Hence the red lines up there. So yes and no, do and don't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's only a guide.
Yeah.
Sometimes stuff looks better that way. Yeah. Maybe that quirkiness and oddity of that crop.
Breaking the rules is fine if you've got a reason for doing it and you know.
There's no such thing as rules, Bruce. Yeah. So how can you break them?
Yeah.
You knew what was going there. You set me up on that one, didn't you? But the thing is, say you're shooting someone who is pretty darn quirky and out there as a character.
Yep.
And bang, that weird, bizarre crop adds an extra bizarre element to the shot that makes it work even better.
Sure.
Yeah, so there can't be any hard and fast rule. And I was at the movies yesterday with my daughter, being school holidays once again, and what I used to call daddy daycare, but now it's just called parenting.
Yep.
Thanks, Richard Clark's wife. hello, Richard. But they kept showing this advert where they had this woman's face cut off. It's just pretty much just like the left eye, a bit of cheek, a hint of nose, and
right.
It was fabulously lit.
Yeah.
And it was just gorgeous. It followed no rules of composition, but looked fabulous.
Yep.
I love chopping people's heads off. Yeah, smack down the middle, to the middle of the nose. And there's lots of different ways to do stuff.
Yeah.
This is just some of them, but they don't work for everything. But, once again, for people who are starting out and they're unsure what, and then they're needing that what should I do sort of stuff, well, that's not a bad thing to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my point about, breaking the rules is fine when you understand why you're breaking them. It is because you've just said, you like,
but there are no rules, so how can you understand what
you're
breaking?
Come on, if you saw a portrait like shot head on, like straight on of somebody's face, with them looking straight down the barrel of the lens, but the photographer had cut off, 15% of their left ear, that's wrong.
Well, maybe you ask them first why.
Okay.
why did you choose to do that? What how
did you choose to do that, or were you just careless?
This is not a rule, but what's in the frame is your responsibility. What's out of the frame is your responsibility.
Yeah.
And you have to make a choice about the decision. So why is it out? If you don't know, then it's wrong.
Yeah.
But it's not because it's a rule, but You didn't think about the shot.
Yeah,
you didn't tell the story. You didn't feel and emotively understand what you're trying to capture.
Right.
I left it out because of this. He's got these really ugly hairs growing out on top of that ear. And my God, they're not horrible. But you know what I mean? You can't assume. And I was reading this thing about Picasso today.
Yeah.
That it took years for fellow artists to even, they said everything he was doing was garbage, it was rubbish, They completely dismissed what he was doing, and it took them years to come round. And they said, well, these guys are artists. Of all people in the world who should know there's no rules, it's them.
Yeah.
And they couldn't accept what they didn't necessarily understand or grasp or understand what his point of view was or what his perception was, Doesn't mean it's either right or wrong. They're just... Either he didn't tell his story well enough, explain what it was and why it looked that way, or they were just too closed-minded. Yeah, you can't. If there are no rules, how can you understand them first?
Hmm.
Yeah, you know what I mean. It's too rigid.
Okay.
You'll always disagree but you know what? That's your kind of mind.
Yeah.
Your mind needs rules, Bruce.
Yes, it does.
You're an engineer. Yeah, but that's fine. Yeah, but see what I mean? So I'll never understand your vision and personality because of your personality, because of what the makeup that makes you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why we like what we like and we don't like what we don't like, and why we shoot different when we stand next to each other and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But some people need rules or need order. It's probably better than rules.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Order and an innate understanding of why. Maybe you need to know the why of something.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Paul, would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
Right.
I just said, well, I like it. I don't like it. I don't. I never look deep enough to know why. I don't really care. I just like it.
Right.
Or I just don't like it. Mm-hmm. I've been having this ongoing, long-running feud with some friends of mine.
Yeah.
Good-natured, about wearing band T-shirts to concerts. And it's been going on.
As in other bands?
Any.
Other than the band you're there to see?
Any band T-shirt.
Not even wearing the T-shirt of the band you're going to see?
This could be an entire podcast by itself, Bruce. We probably shouldn't go here. But absolutely. You should never wear the band you're going to see or any other band.
Oh, that's bollocks.
To a concert. No, that's how I feel. It's neither right nor wrong. It's just my opinion. And I abhor every person I see at a concert wearing a band t-shirt.
Well, what about your mate Adam? He's always exactly, wearing a Springsteen shirt.
That's one of the people I'm having the argument with. You know?
I thought it probably was.
So here's the things, right? One thing.
Yeah.
You're wearing a Bruce Springsteen shirt to a Bruce Springsteen show. What are you trying to say? I like Bruce Springsteen? Well, of course you do. You're at the show.
No, you're missing the point.
No,
you are totally missing the point.
Step two, I'm wearing the show from tonight's, the shirt from tonight's concert. I went to that concert. Well, we know you're in front of us. Step number three, I'm wearing a really old Bruce Springsteen. Look how much longer I've liked Bruce Springsteen than you.
Yeah.
I'm a real fan.
That's right.
Step number four, I'm wearing a Led Zeppelin t-shirt to a Bruce Springsteen show. I'd rather be seeing Led Zeppelin.
Not necessarily.
That's the way it rolls in my world. It's all outside of that. And so I told them tonight, guys, there's a simple solution. Just buy a range of just plain black sheet t-shirts. That's all you wear to gigs. No controversy. You know? You're not trying to prove a point to anybody. You're not trying to, you know. It's all ego.
Is it?
But it's good fun. It's a good fun argument I've been doing for years. It's,
yeah, right.
Every time they go to a concert, they take a photo of whatever shirt they're wearing.
And then post it on Facebook and tag you in it.
Pretty much, yeah. There's one guy said tonight, I can't remember the last time I went to a concert when I didn't say to someone, I wonder what Glenn would say about me wearing this shirt.
Nice.
So, cropping for portraits, good stuff.
Yep.
Then I came across this kind of cool video on YouTube.
Yeah. First photos taken in date order.
It claims to be a video record of the first photographs ever taken, or at least ever come across by the person who compiled it, all in date order, from 1839 to 1845.
Wow.
And the one that really struck me the most was the title of the image was First Image of Woman with Eyes Open. But imagine that. There's never been a photograph ever of a woman with her eyes open.
Right.
I mean, prior to that one. Yeah, imagine being in the world of photography where everything you did was a first.
It'd be pretty amazing.
Yeah, Yosemite, first.
Yeah.
Pretty darn cool. So that's a great little video, and there's some interesting shots in there, which is pretty cool. And then I came across one other photographer that kind of, his project kind of didn't blow me away, but it's like, wow, that's amazing amount of preparation.
Right.
And they're called The Human Castles of David Oliette.
Okay.
And basically, he builds castles out of people.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. Huge swaths of people, and gets these massive things and gets these incredible perspectives and gets them all wearing the same colored shirts. And it's some pretty cool stuff. It's good stuff, isn't it? Yeah, we're going to finish this week's podcast on a high. Look at that. That's some good stuff.
Whoa. Okay. See? So now I'm scrolling, I'm just, it all just goes sideways, but wow. Wow, that's crazy.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
Imagine what people's imaginations come out with, you know?
But is he organizing these things, or is he just photojournalist, you know?
I couldn't imagine there's a huge market for these things as far as...
For the images?
Well, no, for people to get together as a group and do this. It's not like they're setting Guinness Book of Records or any of this sort of stuff, you know.
No, they're probably soccer fans.
good point. So anyway, I wanted to finish on a high note for once.
That's cool.
Yeah, first episode in a while. We're going to finish on a blazing glory of kind of cool shots.
Right. Yeah.
So what's up for the rest of your week, my friend? Anything exciting?
Tomorrow the bike goes in for its 1,000-kilometre service.
Already?
Yes, in a week.
It's like a week old.
Yes, it's Thursday night and it's going in for its service tomorrow, Friday. I picked it up last Friday.
it's only worth half as much as you paid for it now.
Yeah, pretty much. And I do need to be very firm with them too, because they sold me this bike on the insinuation that the heated grips were installed and working, and they're not. So I will be saying to them, look, you know, you sold me this bike under the belief that the heated grips were were installed and functioning, and they're not. So I want them, you know, functioning, and I'm not paying for the upgrade. So we'll see how that conversation goes tomorrow. Saturday, Kath and I are going, and Max are going down to Sydney to see a Game of Thrones exhibition at the, I think it's the Museum of Contemporary Art. No, not Museum of Contemporary Art, the Australian Museum.
Well, we're not going to be there anyway.
No, you're not. So, yeah.
As long as you can find your way there on the weekend, you're getting it right tonight. Because by the time this comes out.
Yeah. This will all be in the past.
You'll have been, and they, no one can call you and say, Bruce, no, it's not there, it's over here.
That's right.
It's gone to pointless.
And then Sunday we're going up to the entrance to see there's a free concert in the park, and Russell Morris is playing.
Oh.
For those who are Australian people, you will remember the hit The Real Thing from the late 60s, produced by none other than Molly Meldrum. But Russell
still
Morris...
Still know some serendipity?
What's that?
At last Friday's workshop, yeah. I ran.
Yeah.
Which I forgot to say, I took a cracking portrait of a guy who came to that, I must say.
Right.
I had Russell Morris's number one fan there, apparently.
Right.
She has a massive tattoo of him post on her chest.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She was.
That's a fan.
She was everything. She's everything you'd imagine a Russell Morris fan would be. but yes, all she could talk about, the whole reason she came to learn how to use a camera so she could take better photos of Russell.
Are you serious?
Deadly serious.
Wow.
Okay. His number one fan.
Right.
I just sent you a link just through there to the portrait I took this week of this guy. Love it. It's fabulous.
Nice. Just a natural light portrait.
Yeah, it's just my understanding of your Canberra workshop. There's not much to see. It's just one of the attendees who came, but it was a great little face. Yeah, great bit of light.
So that's Sunday, heading up there for that free concert. Russell Morris has got a new album out, and it's actually quite good.
Yeah, she says it's very good.
Yeah.
He told me.
I have a great Russell Morris story, but you probably don't care.
No, email it to me. I'll send it on to her.
she'd be horrified. Can I tell it quickly?
Yeah, go ahead.
So imagine, if you will, me as a 21, 22-year-old, I suppose I was at the time, working at Triple TFM down in Hobart, brand new station, just launched, and I was the first production manager down there. And anyway, I'm sitting in my studio, you know, making commercials one day. All of a sudden, the door opens to my studio and there's our program director with two guys in tow. And he sort of, you know, opens the door and he goes, oh, this is our production studio. This is where all the commercials and the promos are made. And this is Bruce, our production guy. And then he, you know, and of course, by that stage, I've stopped working and I'm just looking at the three of them. And he goes, oh, I'm just showing Russell Morris and his manager around the station. And I went, oh, right. And of course, you know, 22-year-old, I'm just sort of looking at these two guys going, all I see is two middle-aged guys and I wouldn't have a clue. And Russell sheepishly puts his hand up and goes, I'm Russell. I just wanted to crawl under the desk and die.
Yeah. I've met quite a lot of celebrities, but I met Billy Connolly once years ago. He came to one of my stores I was working in.
Yeah, right.
And I pretended not to recognize him.
Why?
Just for fun. Yeah. So I just, I know we were together like 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, right.
Just totally deadpan, no hint of recognition. Oh, I played it masterfully.
Yeah.
And I gave him fantastic. So I really saved his bacon. He was incredibly thankful. And he was, oh, thank you so much. Oh, yeah. And he was turning around and started walking out the door. And he was just almost bowing in gratitude for what I'd done for him.
Right.
And just as he got to the door, I said, hey, Billy. And he stops and looks back at me. He's got this shock that I actually realized who he was. He goes, yeah. I said, how about an autograph? He goes, yeah, all right then. I said, who do I make it out to? Dear Billy? Boom, Tish. And he laughed. And we laughed. And he said he'd give me an autograph. But yeah.
Nice.
You know, I could never acquiesce to that. Someone's more powerful than me. Yeah, the alpha male in me. So
that's awesome.
I never wear a Billy what's his name again?
Connolly.
Billy Connolly t-shirt or a Billy Connolly show either. Well, that's it, my friend. We've kicked well over our hour. How mad is that?
We have. And so what's on for your weekend?
Two workshops.
Yep.
Someone's come and take the kids for the Sunday afternoon. Kid-free afternoon.
Excellent.
Looking forward to that sleep. But yeah, no, that's it. I've got a flash workshop on Saturday, which I'm looking forward to. And
You might think it's flash. Everyone else might think it's crap.
Oh, yeah, I know. A speed light workshop is coming up on Saturday, which I always enjoy doing.
Right.
But one of my more enjoyable, for me to run, one of the workshops I enjoy the most, because it's one of those biggest wow moments for so many people, which is great. So looking forward to that. It'll be good.
Excellent. All right. Well, have a good one, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Bye, Milena.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.